Colby, I think about the helicopter hurling down through the fog, about the mother, father, daughter trio probably staring deeply into each other's eyes. I think about the daughter watching the terror go out of her mother's eyes, about the mother watching these families and knowing her family would know she didn't go alone. I think about the pilot frantically plotting to fly right. I wonder if he got to think about his family tucked in somewhere warm on that cold California Calabasas Sunday morn. And I think about the Nephilim superhero, but only for our spirits and entertainment. A city built on fault lines held together by the glue of his closing shot. I think about his drive and his smile, and I think about what sort of twisted pact these beautiful souls cooked up before heading here to help wake us up. And I think about how the Black Mamba mentality would ask, what's the process? What's the strategy? Figure the basics of that out, work it like math. It all adds up. And I wonder if he had enough time for himself and for his daughter that morning. And I wonder about the crowds chanting MVP, MVP, MVP. And I wonder if he thought about them in those last seconds when he caught in Gigi's eyes the sweet knowing that she was his MVP. That she at 13 would be the one to fly with him into death and soar back off into other plays, other universes, other games. I wonder too, as I lay on this couch, stroking the hair to my spirit's hair, how will I give him back the innocence lost? None of us is saved if any of us is unsaved, and I'm not quite sure anymore if God is paying attention, which is to say, maybe that was the pact we all made with her in the first place. And as we remember now, that it is always, always sunny in California, always.
Wow, I think that's such a really beautiful poem to describe such a very tragic events that happened in January.
Yeah,
I guess with that, we want to say welcome to
welcome to
Nuance,
Nuance.
a poem by Barbara Gilchrist, Simone Gilchrist Files. Just like how that
Whatever.
whispered in the side. So, mom, it's been a while.
Why has that
We're
been a,
back
why has it been a
here with an
while?
explanation. Well, not really, no explanation.
There is no explanation necessary. It's been
It's
a
more,
rough beginning to the year.
yeah, a lot, including, the death of Kobe, which will be one of our topics
But
for
not just the
today.
death of Kobe, the entire crash,
Oh,
as
yes.
there were actually nine people on the helicopter. So
Including young children.
and
So
yeah,
awful.
so many families were affected. So I felt compelled to write a poem only because yeah, when Kobe, I remember watching him when he was in his the peak of his career, when he was winning with the LA Lakers. They had a three wins back to back NBA championship. But outside of that, I really admired him as, his work ethic. But more so now, just because, Jonathan plays basketball, obviously,
Yes.
and obsessed with basketball. And
So good
so,
to end in the NBA.
so the idea that he could pattern that kind of work, that kind of training ethic, I just felt like Kobe was a wonderful role model for young boys. And it's very distressing to me that he died in such a horrific way. This twist of this stab is the fact that his daughter was with him. There were, I think, two other young girls on the
Yeah.
helicopter, between the ages of probably 12, 13. So the whole thing was just very, very jarring.
And I think there's a video, or sub a quote unquote, the video of the helicopter
When it was
crashing.
crashing, right?
What I thought was the worst is hearing that the family found out because of TMZ, so they weren't notified by the police. They further saw it through social media. I think that's what I find is
scary. But you know, remember we were talking about that, and I was saying, like, on one hand, I find it's awful that that's how they found out, but you also have to bear in mind that TMZ has and I don't know that we can say the job takes precedence over the family. It's like, okay, what do you do? And I mean, I don't know if they know if the family were you know, weren't already notified, or if perhaps we should consider whether or not that's their responsibility to check to see if the family, you know, but that must have been awful if it's true, because we don't know if it's true. If it's true, I
don't know. It's just a thought of, you know, you're just lazily on social media scrolling through, and then you see, you know,
your father is dead.
And then, you know, at the beginning, it wasn't unsure if Gigi was on the plane or if she wasn't. And then, you know, that just...
was the thing that told me that they probably knew, TMZ, that the family didn't know. Because I think the fact that they took a while to say that that Gigi was on the helicopter was kind of, you know, a way for them to delay the info. I don't even know. Bottom line is, you know, the whole thing was just very awful. And, you know, it makes you question life and living and what does it all mean?
Yeah, what's the point?
You know, what does it all mean? And yeah, it's just, it's really very a tragic thing, because you see, these are parents in the midst of taking care of, you know, they're active, sports active children. I don't know, maybe I relate to it because of, you know, what I was doing back and forth with you when you were playing hockey, or now with Jonathan and basketball. To know it's like a regular thing you do on a Saturday or on a Sunday.
Okay, you know, minus the helicopter ride, which is also because he's been, for years now though, he's been, you know, flying with the same helicopter.
Yeah, but if that's their way of traveling, what do you mean minus the helicopter ride?
Well, we drive the car. That's what
I'm saying. Accidents, you know, there are more accidents that happen on the road though.
Yeah, for sure, but I don't know. I think, isn't the wife suing the company?
Right, she's suing the company, and I'm sure the other families might do the same. But all in all, it's just a really sad situation, you know, because we want to look at the conversation in a nuanced way. I guess we have to
mention his past, that Kobe wasn't a saint. Well, supposedly, quote unquote.
Yeah, but I hope you don't hear me saying that he was a saint.
No, I'm just saying that. I'm just generally,
Because I feel like a lot of people tend to think that because people don't want to talk about his past, it's like, well, you know, you're trying to paint him as a perfect person. But I think all of us have faults, all of us, you know, have things that we've done in our past, and we've gone beyond. And I think just the way he died, I mean, he was in the midst of being a father to his child, and being a promoter of women's sports, being a community person, like that's how he died. So I feel like why we can't just remember him for how he died. Yeah. But let's talk about the rape.
Because since I wasn't maybe mentally around or aware of that, you know, when that whole thing went down, you want to give a quick...
I think it was during I'm sure I should look for the date, but I don't want to.
But like a bit of bias, but continue.
No, it's not bias. It's like it was some time ago. It was in the middle of his career, and he had, I think he had to do a knee operation, and he went to, I think it's Colorado or someplace there, and he had to do the operation. He went to the hotel. There was a young girl at the hotel, at the front desk, and she, you know, they had an interaction. He has admitted that, you know, he had sex with her. But the point, and I guess the whole case was about the fact that the girl didn't see it, that she gave consent, that she actively said she said no. And he was charged for it. But the case really never happened because she, at the last minute, decided not to further to press further charges. And then she sued him, I think, civilly. Yeah. And she won the maximum amount of money that you can possibly get in that state.
Okay.
So that kind of shows that there was, you know, a lot more evidence. I mean, I've avoided over the years. I remember when it was happening, I really was not interested, because I just was not interested to know if it was true or not true, which I'll admit, you know, is not
the right way to go about things, and subtly biased.
Yes, it's biased. And it's also like, you know, for a woman myself, and yeah, I have children, I have a daughter, I have girlfriends and so on. There, you know, looking back, I felt like I actively avoided wanting to know anything about it. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But since the death, you know, and because I think the thing that bothered me was just that there are a lot of people who take it really personal, you know, that you know, he's dead, and people want to just like, okay, so he's dead, get over it. He's not special because he raped this girl.
Yeah.
So that's why for me, I was like, okay, you know what? Because I know I was going to be in back and forth with a lot of people over this. So let me go and read, for example, the police report and the interviews that he did with the police. And I honestly read the interviews that he did with the police, like, because the police went to interview him initially, and he denied it, and then he basically said, yes, it's true. He lied when the police first asked him about it. The bottom line, though, is that when you read his side of the story and you hear a bit of hers, because I wasn't able, which I found it to be odd, I wasn't able to find the interviews that were done between the police and the young woman. But they had evidence to show that during that 3-day, 4-day period around when she had sex with Kobe,
yeah,
that she had had sex with 2 other men before.
Yeah.
And that even when she went to the hospital, the panties that she wore to do the rape kit,
yeah,
so that was the night after this happened, those panties had hair and semen from another man.
Okay.
And she, yes, it gets very messy.
But she basically admitted
that, okay, yes, it was from somebody else. She had sex some days ago, and she was just, when she woke up in the morning, she was just so out of it, she just took her panty out of the
clothes.
And just wore that. And that just threw me off, because I'm like, okay, what kind of chaotic life is this? But also, it's like, what kind of chaotic life that was Kobe living, that, you know, he's in the middle of doing an operation. Like, yeah, why is this the thing that he would be doing?
But just by him being in the operation, doesn't that exactly show you he's in a very, you know, frazzled state? Because, I mean, a knee operation isn't small, and that could, you know,
probably
could have affected his career to the extent of it being over.
But that's no excuse for him to have, first of all, you know, cheated on his wife. And then based on her reports, the young woman, you know, she said she was raped. She was savagely raped because he was very aggressive. There are some details to you. If you're interested, it's online. You can go and read it. But I think it was good that I went out of my way to read all of the things, just because I wanted to have a balanced view of him.
Because that would be my next question. Like, after reading the manuscripts, basically the interviews and any little bits that you could hear about the interview with her, has your opinion changed? And like, how, first of all, how you see Kobe, and also with the whole situation, you know?
I think with this situation, I think that it is likely that he was aggressive. I don't know if I'm prepared to say he raped her, though. And okay, I don't know why. Maybe it has to do with the fact that I think that the situation felt to me that she actually admitted to the police that she was at the front desk, and they told somebody, his agent or whoever, called and said, you know, this Kobe's person coming. Is coming, because he was traveling under this guy's name, and the person told her that it's actually Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
And she said she was really excited, she wanted to meet him, and she didn't have no problem with having sex with him.
Okay.
So,
and you have to put that into perspective as well. Like, I get what you're saying. There's like a lot of information that goes in. And I guess, yeah, at the end of the day, maybe it's just like, none of us will be able to judge it. Just she and him. Those are the only two witnesses.
Right. So, and that's why I'm saying, like, you asked me what my thoughts are on it. I think that Kobe, like you said, was in a frazzled state. Yeah, I'm not making any excuses for it, because I think that at the end of the day, because the girl at the time was like 19 or some small age, mm-hmm, like that,
age. How old was he?
He was like 27, 28 or something like that. And I just feel like, I don't think I'm comfortable saying that he raped her, but I do know, though, that I have, like, I don't have any respect for men who do things like that. Whether, mm-hmm, it is, you know, slight assault, or you know, well, she did say yes, but then she said no, and it's like, yeah, if a woman says no, you have to respect that, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. But I'm not going to just like leave it at that. I think that we've talked about this even when we used to do the podcast with Daniel. Like, I feel like a woman also has some responsibility in how she conducts herself,
and
you know,
and we're not treading into, you know, people like to say, you know, victim blaming. There's like,
no, not at all. There are some facts about the situation, yeah, that makes you have to say, okay, hold on, this girl here, who is,
yeah,
this girl here? Because, yeah, obviously they did the rape kit on her and so on, and they said, you know, the way the whole, when they do the physical examination of her, they said the trauma that was evident It could have been from her having had several partners before,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
No, there is a discussion that is why she didn't go forward with the case, because
right
all
away.
This information came out,
yeah,
and her life was completely destroyed. And you can imagine the machinery that was behind Kobe at that time.
Oh, yeah,
I cannot
imagine
what it must have been like for her.
Yeah.
You understand? So it's like, it's just an unfortunate thing. It's like, you know, that's the same thing I was saying about the crash. It's like, you know, you have these souls that they collide,
yeah,
you know? Because,
yeah,
like I said, on one hand, Kobe is there, you know, being, I'm sure, very frustrated and stressed out by the fact that he will be doing this operation that could affect his career, right?
Yeah.
And making bad decisions,
yeah,
right? And then there is this girl who, there was an article that was done about her that talked about the fact that she had tried to commit suicide 2 times.
Okay, wow. So
that
she's been having
she had,
problems.
Yes, and she too. And that she entered into America, what's the song, contest, something?
American Idol.
American Idol, exactly. But
yeah,
she didn't come, no. And so, like, you know, this is also somebody who you can see, like, it's just, this is a bag of issues on both sides, and they
yeah
collided that night.
And then a mess happened, basically.
And the mess happened. And, you know, they said that, for example, her family, they were not, like, they were wealthy.
Yeah.
Like, where she's, like, she's, you know, so it wasn't about money. That was the argument her, like, lawyers were saying. So it's
yeah
the principle of the thing. And what makes me sad is, like, if Kobe really raped her, like, if the details of the encounter
yeah
really meant that he was aggressive and he was the one who, like, he physically
forced her.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I feel bad for her, because it must be difficult for her today and yesterday and all
forever
these days since, no, but I mean, since his death, to
oh
have it revisited.
True.
And
yeah
to have the news media be, everybody just saying all these glorious things about Kobe. But, so the next part of your question was, how do I feel about Kobe?
Yeah, does it affect it?
So, as you know, I'm looking at the book Black Mamba that we bought. I bought it for Jonathan's, one of his birthday gifts, because it's a very simple book. I think he wrote it for boys who don't like to read.
Which is perfect, you know,
but
all boys, all ages.
But he put in it the simple techniques about training and about taking responsibility for what you say you want, like for your goals, and for starting from the bottom and, you know, being consistent but in small ways, you know? It does a good job, I think, of just outlining, you know, how he got to be who he was. That it wasn't just stuff. He had a really strict regime in terms of his training. And not just physical training, but also mental training. And, you know, he was obsessed with really watching his tapes and watching to see the games. And so,
more of a work guy than like a luck guy, like putting it up for luck.
No,
so
he was a hard worker. And I think that perhaps for me, that will not be dulled. Because I think for black boys, and just, let me not just say black boys, for young men across the board, and for women too, because, I mean, we know that he was very, very, very strong in terms of pushing his daughter, for pushing for girls in the basketball league and so on. But I think that his message about putting in the work is something that is often missed in today's world, where young people tend to want the glitz and the glamour. And, you know, I just remember what Michael Jordan said at the memorial just yesterday, when he said that basically Kobe was a nuisance to him. Like, he would just want to know all the damn time. Every time he saw him, it was always, so how you do this and how you do? Like, he was, you know what I mean? Like, he
yeah
had a goal, and he was very serious about putting in the work to get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that for me is something that holds weight regardless of anything. Because I think that is something that you can hand to young people, young men, young women, as a template for what it is that you want in life. You know what I mean? They had a thing where they said he was always the first to arrive at training and the last to leave. And they asked him about that over the years. And he said, like, it was not just because he wanted to learn more, but he also was using it in a mental way to kind of intimidate his opponents, to make him know that, let them know that no matter what, they will never outwork him. I just feel like that kind of work ethic, it's useful.
I think you should be able to, like, see the nuances of somebody's life and take out the, you know, the good and what is necessary for you to, you know, do. My opinion on the whole thing, granted, I'm not that into basketball and, you know, all the things, but I do know the main people, you know, some of the, you know, the OGs and the ones who, you know, made a mark. And I do have to say that regardless of the whole situation, like, if it's true, if it's not, because I can't judge that, I wasn't there, I can only say that, yeah, it seems like a very sketchy situation. I do get why people are, though, very angry and frustrated with people who, as soon as he, like, basically he's not even buried yet and people already started to bring up bad things about him. Like, I get, you know, we're not trying to, like, hold him up as a saint, but we can be able to appreciate what he did and what he didn't. He opened a stadium for kids. I respect the way how, you know, people always make jokes about, like, you know, the father caring more about, like, you know, the sons and, you know, when they go into sport. But to see how he was behind Gigi, I think the older
daughter.
What's
the hashtag called again? Girl, dad.
Daddy's girl.
Dad girls, daddy's, yeah, or something like, yeah, that.
And, like, to see also, I think one of his older daughter plays volleyball, right. I think. And he's just there, and he was, like, I think I heard on multiple occasions that he was even more invested in, like, women's basketball than, you know, in men's basketball.
And I think, you know, Enid, that's my point, because I feel like that whole thing that happened with this situation with this young woman really changed him, and he spoke about it, because I think he saw what he did as something that was wrong, and I felt he lived his life after that trying to correct it. Yeah. And but not by correcting it, like, what I mean is, like, by the way he conducted himself, you might not have seen it, but I remember when they did the interview, when he did the press conference with his wife, where he had to basically, like, when he apologized to her, and I remember this thing that stood out for me was that he called it for what it was. He said, "I committed adultery." He never, like, tried to hide it. But then, so I'm sure there are people who are gonna say, "Yeah, sure, he committed adultery, but really he raped her." You know, it's like, again, I just feel we have to judge people on their turnaround. And for me, his turnaround from that incident was just like, okay, he was about his basketball, he was about his family, he lived his life trying to hold up to some kind of standard after that.
Couldn't someone, to go, like, really nuance the conversation, one could almost question the irony of him only having daughters.
Well, that's, like, also, a lot thing, of people know? Said that, because, you know, there was a big joke about that he can't shoot no boys. And he said that he didn't have no problems with having girls, and that it was his wife who really wanted to have a son. Because he said that he didn't have a problem with it. And I remember, I don't know if it's Michael Jordan or who is it, somebody had said that for them it's easier to deal when they have daughters, because it is such a big shoes to fill when you have a son,
yeah,
and you have a father who is so well established and well known in a particular sport.
People,
almost,
like,
it's a pressure.
For you. Yeah.
Exactly. Whereas with the girls, he just, you know, they're more...
That's not right, though, you know, to be very honest, for people to not do it. But I do, that's something else that really breaks my heart when I think about it, because I've seen a couple of videos of Gigi playing, and, like, you can see she would have been an essential leader,
yeah,
of, like, the women's NBA. And that would have been something, like, I would even be interested to watch, like, to see... Because you don't really hear people talking about, like, women's sports. Like, what women's sports do you really hear about? Besides, I think, like, maybe track and field. That's, like, the only thing.
Yeah, but I think, too, that the fact that Kobe made this great leap of making it very obvious that he was a big fan of women's basketball. And I think outside of Gigi being a part of the sport, that he would have probably still pushed that,
yeah,
you know? Because, and I think that came out of the whole thing that happened. I mean, that's me now overthinking it. And I know that I've had so many conversations with people who are like, "Yeah, stop glorifying him. Stop, you know, making it seem as if, yeah,
he's a saint or something."
But I've watched myself with that doing, and it's a great thing to be able to, like, observe when you really like somebody or you appreciate them for what they've done, and to be able to hold the fact that they're not perfect. Still, you know, it's like,
yeah,
you can. What I say, you know, eat the meat and throw and spit out the bones. But I mean, you know, you can take from his life so much more than,
yeah,
that one
just
incident.
Yeah, just like pushing it down to that.
And if you have somebody who was accused of that, and then they went on to continue to abuse and disrespect women and to rape and to, you know, to drop out of bars drunk and so on, then you're like, okay, what the hell? Well, you have somebody who they did something wrong and they tried to make it, you know.
This is so funny that we're talking about it, because I find it interesting. When we were watching a video yesterday on Middle Ground, the YouTube channel, where they discuss certain topics and they have half the people being for a certain thing or against, and we're watching it about the death penalty. And one of the statements were, if somebody can be, you know, redeemed and put back into society. Of course, mm-hmm. it was about the death penalty, and you know, mostly we're dealing about, like, you know, murder, which is one of the highest offenses and you know, worth getting the death penalty. But it's also interesting that, like, okay, from a human to human basis, like, yeah, we know there's, you know, sociopaths and psychopaths out there. I didn't personally know Kobe Bryant, but just the way how he seems, he doesn't seem like a sociopath, and clearly you can see it happened, and he did evolve. Like, he's a better person than he was probably before it. Mm-hmm. So you kind of want to question, like, do you give this person a pass, or is it, you'll never be able to forget it. I'm sure we're not going to ever get to, like, we're not going to erase the fact that it happened, but are we still allowed to acknowledge the good that this person has done, you know, even though, you know, he did something bad in his past?
I don't think that we can say give him a pass, because what he did is what he did.
No, I mean, and
unfortunately, like, if you're somebody who believed that it was rape, that she was raped, and, you know, basically he got off because he had obviously, you know, the top of the line legal team, but the machinery behind him, basically, I wouldn't say destroyed, but I'm sure put a lot of pressure on that young girl to not push the case further.
Let me rephrase what I said. When I say pass, I mean not that we forget it, but in the sense that we are able to look beyond that and still appreciate what he did. Like, we know, okay, because I think...
That's what redemption is all about,
redemption,
right?
Is about, yeah, and also, like, people aren't just evil and people aren't just good. There's, like, shades of gray within a person's personality. Sure, I'm not saying everybody's out there, you know, raping or, like, molesting people.
But then you have to ask a bigger question, though, Anya. So that means, right, if the bigger star you are and the bigger contribution that you make to society, it then somehow devalues any crime or misdemeanors
I meant more in the sense.
No, but think about that, though. No, if you're a regular person.
Let me give you an example of a regular person. Like, for example, also in the video, one of the other videos, they were talking about, like, people who used to be in gangs, like gang affiliates who, you know, had to, like, do the gang initiations and all sorts of stuff like that. And, like, after, you know, they did their time, paid their fines or whatever, you know, they dealt with the punishment that they deserved, of course, they later on, a lot of them do end up going to schools and, like, talking to children and trying to, like, prevent what they got into. I think for me that same thing applies to them, not diminishing the crimes and the things that they did, but still being able to, on the one hand, to appreciate, you know, them trying to prevent or, you know, further the society in a positive way, which is like redeeming themselves. But I think I have a problem with the idea of redemption, because when I hear redemption, it's kind of sounds like we're trying to forget what happened or, like, push to the side, which I'm not. But I still think you should be able to see the good or try and see the good, not, you know, casting the person as, you know, forever good or forever evil, but just being able to see the shades of each individual.
I think that we live in a very celebrity obsessed culture, and that is my problem with it. And I'm speaking now as honestly, because I am somebody who is a fan of Kobe the athlete, not necessarily Kobe the man, because one, I don't know him, and two, the bits of information that I was able to read upon this case don't necessarily put him in a good light, yeah, in my view as a man. But as an athlete, how he went about his training, it appeals to me. Just with my writing, and also I know it appeals to my son, right?
Yeah.
But I think we live in a celebrity obsessed culture, so that somebody like Kobe, just like Harvey Weinstein, just like Bill Cosby, all of these real, you know, these men, right?
Yeah.
Who have a certain amount of wealth and prominence and power in society, they're able to do their deeds, get away with them, get a chance to honey cover themselves, yeah, yes, with good things, whatever their endeavors are, right, or their talents are, and somehow we are meant to not talk about it, because, mm-hmm, you know, I remember when John McCain died. John McCain, he was one of the candidates running for president against Trump in the Republican primary, right?
Oh, wow, okay.
And he died.
Yeah.
And I remember when he died, there was a lot of discussion about the fact that, you know, he was, what kind of person he really was, as against the persona that we see him having in the media. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there were people who talked about the fact that, you know, all the things that he did. And I thought to myself, like, there comes a point where it's like, okay, you if somebody dies I think it's open game. I think it's fair game to say, okay, let us make an assessment of his life, and then you can do. Okay. But
yeah,
this whole thing that happened with Gayle King, for example, where she was interviewing Kobe's friend Lisa Leslie, right?
Yeah.
I suppose where I come in, and it's a very nuanced thing, you know, because based on what I just said a while ago, I think it should be okay to say, well, you should question him, right?
Yeah.
But I have a problem with people like Gayle King, who is a known friend of Harvey Weinstein. So
basically, right? A hypocrite.
Yeah, I have a problem with her and the fact that she came so hard at Lisa Leslie, and Lisa Leslie answered her so well. Like, she was like, look, when Kobe was alive, why you didn't ask him this? I am his friend, and this is something that I feel, I know him, and what I know of him, that's not something that I would think that he would have done.
Yeah.
That don't mean that she's not saying that the sex never happened.
It's just that she didn't witness it.
And she also said she's never witnessed him, you know, being aggressive to women or so on. And then Gayle King's response was like, but you know, you wouldn't know though. You wouldn't see him doing that though. And I have some problems with Gayle King doing that, because I was like, but hold on, man. You and Oprah are big friends with Harvey Weinstein. Why is it that you're not interviewing all them other people who know
what? Especially Harvey Weinstein is still alive, so you can't question him.
And he was just recently charged now. You know that the case is done and they're waiting basically for the sentence.
With his crutches, you know, right? Walking down.
So it's like, but then again, like I said, I can be honest with myself. I know that it's because of the fact that I have a lot of respect for Kobe and the way that he, specifically as it relates to his athleticism,
and
his work ethic. I can watch myself becoming defensive and cringing when people start to talk about his past, right? Yeah. But I acknowledge that they have the right to do that, right? But this thing with Gayle King bothered me at a very, very deep level, you know, because I think for the fact that Gayle King and people like Oprah are coming at this issue of the Me Too thing from the point of view of they're black women and they want to do, right? I just feel that, not that they should give Kobe a pass, but I want to see them balance it out with interviews with the people that they know that are friends with people like Harvey Weinstein. And I don't think that it's just Harvey Weinstein either. I'm sure
that's
there are other men out there women like, you know.
Yeah, what I find interesting on the same is like how she, so basically what she said is, you know, she wouldn't know that he's enough, you know, he would
be doing the question that she asked was like, you know, I think Lisa Leslie said something like, you know, when she used to go out with him, like, he was never the type of person who was aggressive towards women or, you know, in pursuing women or anything like that.
Yeah.
And then she made a comment that, but you wouldn't know though, would you?
Yeah, like a comment like that is like, of course you wouldn't know. Like, there are multiple cases of people who, like, you know, a person can be two-faced, like, regardless. Like, the person can be nice to you and then, you know, you don't know what they're doing at their home. And, like, for her to kind of like accuse her for doing that, we're supposed to all have that kind of like spidey sense. Okay, so that one is a molester, that one over there is a pedophile, without having any like facts or like seeing it. And if she didn't witness it, she didn't witness it.
What I had a problem with that interview is that she asked her the question in the context that you and his man, you are friends, so speak on him.
Yeah.
So she's friends with him, so she speak on her friendship with him.
Yeah.
Right. But anyway, I don't want the conversation to go off into, you know, no Gayle King and all of that.
I want to end up like Snoop Dogg, you know, who, you know, threaten her. It's just like, she's old lady, though. Like, we're just going to be, you know, threatening.
I just think that I want the conversation to go more towards, what does it mean, like, that his 13-year-old daughter died with him? And I think that's a bit of what I wanted to discuss with the poem. At the end of the poem, I mentioned how, in my view, I feel like, it's like she came here to take him with her, you know, like she was his guardian angel. But then I think, all right, can we not be too metaphysical? Yeah. Because at the end of the day, you know, we, for all we know, it really was something to do with the fact that the pilot was not planning him thing, or the planes, the helicopter, something was wrong with it, and it was
it comes down to what you believe, though. Like, if you believe in fate, if you believe things are, you know, meant to be, or if you think coincidence, you know. Because I remember when you first like said it, And, you know, there's always a small part of you that thinks about, like, wow, what if this was, you know, this was how it was meant to go.
Well, obviously it was meant to go because they're
it
dead.
It happened. Well, yeah, that's for sure. But, like, that, you know, in the grand scheme of things, that's, like, this was just one of those plans that were set. It's both so poetic and sad, but also very sweet at the same time, to think about that, like, in a very, as off as it sounds, but to have that image, I think, his wife made a, you know, the memorial was the other day, and his wife made a speech that they wouldn't have been able to live without each other.
Yeah.
And, like, that, you know, she'll keep the team here, and he deals with the team out there.
Yeah.
And it's so sad, but also heartwarming. At the end of the day, in situations like that, you kind of have to believe what makes you kind of, like, feel comfortable and make you feel somewhat,
not even comfortable, but does that make sense? That's rational. But what, how does this make sense?
Well, that's the thing. It has to make sense to you, and kind of, like, you know, I don't know. It's very, I'm not going to lie. There is, when I think about it, like, I do start to, like, want to tear up, because the thought of that is just, first of all, the way how they died is just so rough.
I think that it is clear that there's a bigger plan that was going on with him and his daughter, and that entire team, all nine of them on the plane. That was, because I believe that there are pacts that you make as a soul, and you have people who are in your soul group, and you make certain pacts with people to do things together on earth. And certainly the idea of them dying like that, clearly to me, is a sign that, okay, I think I've not fully fleshed out how I feel regarding what it means. We look at the life of Kobe. Yeah, like I said a while ago, you know,
I guess we need to
swallow the meat, spit out the bone. People can, and nobody's saying that you have to use him. There are so many other human beings out there we can use as role model. But for me, and I think for a lot of people who respect a certain kind of work ethic, you know, and it's all sad. Around sad.
Definitely, you know, condolences.
But the year has been so, yeah, this 2020 is just
we had a rough beginning
so far. So it feels like it's second, we're in February, and it feels like we're like
halfway
eight
through,
8 months deep.
Yeah, it's been a lot. I think we started out rough with, you know, Australia was still on fire from December, the bushfires,
and thankfully that seemed to have Australia was having summer, well, yeah, we're having winter, they're having summer. So I mean, I hope that everything calms down, and I don't want to see what summer is going to look like here. I have a weird feeling that it's going to be super hot.
Last year we already had record temperatures, and, you know, global warming is continuing to, you know, strike at us. What else was going on? I think the 3rd of January is when, you know, World War 3 was announced, or, like, you know, announced on Twitter and Instagram.
Anyway,
and everywhere.
But, you know, I have to say with that, I think there are lots of people who just, people have too much access to the internet, you know. People are sitting down and just, like, waiting for some, what's the
funny
next bombshell?
No, I find it more funny that, you know, regardless of whatever serious thing happened, you always find somebody, you know, making fun of it or finding some to poke at. Even if you look at the thing with Kobe, it's hilarious that at his memorial, Michael Jordan basically cursed him for the internet having another crying meme of him. And it's like, I think
that was such a funny moment, though. And it was nice to see his wife laughing. Just like
everybody was laughing.
That laugh, because he was up there making a new crying meme.
Yeah.
No,
and
it's already,
I've already
that.
Seen a couple on Instagram. But, like, if it's not that, it's USA versus Iran. If you don't want to know how many memes are going on, if I get drafted, and, you know, I think Future, one of the rappers, they've been using his face as a meme to be like, you know, that, like, troubled ex-boyfriend that won't let you go, and, like, text him, I heard your boyfriend got drafted, don't worry, I'm here, and all sorts of stuff like that. Like, the internet was going wild in January.
And that's what I'm saying, that I think the idea of the whole thing with World War III, when, you know, when that came out, I was like, what? It's just like people
but
are
But it was
on,
serious. I mean, let's
no,
not forget.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't doing it, but I do think that, you see, because we're all so focused on the internet, and we are all, basically, we're all drug addicts now, you know. We're drug addicts
sure.
for
dopamine,
breaking 100%. News. Exactly. And so, like, we are always from, we need one disaster. It's like one major thing to the next. We jump from one thing to.
Yeah, I just think it's a very serious thing. We all know tensions have always been high between, you know, USA and Iran. And it's not something you can, you know, you can just lightly tread over without, you know, bombs basically being blown. Thankfully, you know, nothing bad happened out of it and it kind of cooled down. But I honestly was scared. I'm not even going to lie. There was a part of me that was worried. I was thinking like,
scared,
okay,
that
how safe are we here in Germany? If let's realist, let's flesh it out quickly. If there really was a war between America and Iran, like, everybody would be affected. Everybody everywhere would be affected. And it would just, you know, not be fun. And I was like, right before the whole studying. And so I was just like always seeing those people like, okay, so should I study for finals? Is it worth it? Should we just like stop? Because it was something that, you know, as much as we joke about, it was serious. We've seen wars happen because of less. So
yeah, let me tell you something though. I think people don't understand Trump yet, and that's the trouble that I see. Trump is a dog that barks really loud and doesn't have any bite.
But he did do something. That's the point.
Yeah, but I mean, when you look at the person that they killed, based on the information that the U.S. is giving, and I say that very much because I know that there are people who are like, there's always the opposite info. But based on the info that we were given about who this man was and why it was necessary for them to take him out, you have to question, okay, well, Obama could have done it, and he opted not to do it, right? And Trump did it. So it's like, yeah, for me, it just shows that the U.S., which we all know is, in my view, yeah, they are the world police and they get to go do things like that and not don't
which isn't right though.
Which is not right. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm just saying too that he didn't do anything that another U.S. president would not have done. And that when people get all, oh my God, Trump is going to do this or Trump is going to do that, I personally feel like Trump is one of the, like I said, you know those dogs that make the most noise, those small chihuahua dogs that they bark the loudest and they just won't stop.
Yeah.
But they're never going to do anything. But I mean, I'm saying that with a healthy tall glass of hope that it is true. Because obviously, you know, it could go either way.
Yeah, so yeah, a rampage on Twitter. Then of course, you know, the awful, what for me, one of the worst things in January was definitely, you know, the whole coronavirus breaking out.
You make it sound like it's something that happened and it's gone.
That's what I'm saying. It was horrible and it still is horrible. And it's just very, just, you know, nerve-wracking. So
is it really though, Anya? Yes, it is.
As somebody who has to take public transportation, which is, you know, the core for where stuff like this spread, it is very shocking. Because as soon as when it was going on, I still had to, you know, go to, you know, Stuttgart, which is, you know, there's so many people there. Driving the train, taking bus, all of that kind of stuff, taking the subway, being in large areas where people are there, especially, you know, when, you know, international people are everywhere, so, you know, people be coming from different places. You can look at me all, you know, it's like, okay, so what? I don't get to stay, you know, I would love to, you want to trade lives? Like, I would love to stay here. I will take over going to work every now and then, getting to stay home, cooking dinner, something like, I will trade.
To be very clear, I work from home, right?
That sounds like heaven.
And I'm saying to you that I feel very strongly, we talked about this already, I think we have to put things into perspective with the facts that's available. And the facts that are available says that the coronavirus is different from the flu and the swine flu and all of those other things, only as it relates to how easy it is for you to get it.
Yes.
I think that is the main reason why the WHO has said, look, we have to watch because it can spread.
Yeah.
People, so far the statistics that we have show that the people who have died from it are people who are old or who have pre-existing conditions.
Sure, but
so I'm just wanting to just like make that point because I think that's why this whole hysteria is getting out of hand because people tend to think that because, you know, people are dying, the flu kills more people.
Yeah, but the flu has been around longer.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying that the coronavirus is not newer, that it's not. But I think the thing about it that is new is the fact that it is so contagious. And the fact that it is so contagious is dangerous because, you know, you're going to have more people being sick.
Yeah.
And you don't want that. No health system, no health thing can manage up on it. But go on.
Well,
tell us fear. I'm tell us why we should be afraid.
I'm not saying my problem. I wouldn't say my problem is, but something that I just like, is somewhat confusing or worrying is like the symptoms aren't that different than a normal cold. Only
and that's what I'm saying. Because how do you know then? Like right now, if I start to cough or if I have runny nose or...
I had two steps back.
And right? So then you don't know. Like you don't know, do I have a regular common cold? Am I having a flu? Or is this the coronavirus?
Yeah, and the problem is like, I don't know, but I can see why people would not want to go to the doctor to get checked. Like, you know, to a certain extent, like if you're not there, just to be sure.
Well, that's what we talked about too. Like, I don't understand. Like, if I get sick and it's like fever, and I don't see a problem with getting checked and going there. And I just want to know that if you're quarantining me, that I'm going to have my books
and internet, and, right? And we need these books. We know for sure you couldn't last that long without the internet. Well, how would the WhatsApp statuses be updated? Okay. How will the fam hear, you know, your morning notes and thoughts, huh? Would YouTube manage without your watch time?
Okay.
Beer. I just expose you.
I don't feel exposed, right? At all.
Because in comparison to you and me, I am very honest and open about, you know, my subtle addiction with the internet and using social media. But you
said,
miss read all the books and stuff.
And I do. And I
cleaning
do.
Your glasses. I'm sure those are fake too. Just, you know, have the full on image around of, you know, the librarian that you're trying to portray it yourself.
I
to
don't
be.
Know why you get out of this because it's not true. First of all, yes, I've always said that I've gone down too many YouTube rabbit holes. I've said this on numerous of our episodes of this podcast.
I'm just trying to remind you, Miss. The point I'm making, I need books and maybe internet. Maybe.
The point I am making is that I don't think it's such a bad thing. If, like I said this to you yesterday, I think that it would be a great thing if Germany would, or the rest of everywhere in the world, would have shut down the place for a week.
That's my problem. Like, just by me doing my little bit of research in coronavirus, what pisses me off is when I search. Because what I was more interested in is the recovery. So, like, how many people had recovered and, like, you know, to see that, okay, so it's not something you get and you're destined to die. First of all, the mortality rate is 2%. But before I even was able to get those informations, by me just typing in coronavirus recovery, they were telling me about stocks. That's what I find sad about the whole thing, that they're more concerned about the economy and how, you know, oh, it's hurting the economy. It's like, there's people here who are sick and who are losing their lives, and the first priority is the economy and the money.
Right, so that's what I was saying to you earlier, that I think that more people should just do self-quarantining. Like, if you can find a way to quarantine yourself, but then it's hard to do that because the country still has to be, you know, it has to run. If the governments were serious about curtailing this thing, they simply could say, look here, we need to give ourselves a break, because I mean it's very contagious.
Okay. So just as a slight reminder, remember 2 weeks ago there was a big storm going across Germany, Sabine. Yeah,
right.
And nothing shut down. Like, there were the trains had like a delay. Down here in the south, we were also affected. Of course, not as much as like in the north, but yet still, I think the trains only drove and started to function normal after 10 while the storm was still going on. I even had an exam and still had to go there, and they didn't cancel it. Some universities.
What's
of
your point, Inya? This is Germany. Things has to go
this,
on.
This like overwork. Stop. This overwork like mentality. Like, what the hell? Like, am I supposed to put? I mean, granted, if I didn't have an exam, you would have not seen me leave the house. Because it was ridiculous. The weather was so schizophrenic. One second it was all, you know, sunny and good. And then, like, the wind was blowing. And then it was hailing. It was a mess. And yet still, stuff didn't stop. And why? Because money. Why? Because economy.
Yes, I would
agree.
That's
the reason.
Because there's an overconfidence in terms of, like, the infrastructure. And
because
that people
honestly,
will figure it out.
I had an issue with knowing that there are people who work at the train station and who are there while the storm is still going on, trying to clear the tracks while the storm is still going on. You know, first of all, they're gonna have to reclean it again, and second of all, they're putting themselves in danger for like no reason at all. Why? Because some people have to go to work to, you know, like
keep the economy
going. It's like one day to shut down, or like 1.5 days to shut down, thing would have been so awful. Which is weird because it was like Monday coming off a Sunday, so they could have easily, you know, made that day be okay. You know what, it's just chill day until like stuff start to relax again. Maybe I'm also a bit on because, you know, the getting to Stuttgart and I was like, you know, a huge drama within itself, but still, it's very sad. It makes me very just like frustrated and like angry to see that is, you know, the main drive. We don't care about people and more important things, but it's about the money.
Okay, Inya. So okay. We're all going to get corona and die?
No, so far in Germany, I've checked, so far there have been like 18 people. They say worldwide there are 81,191 people who are infected.
And in Germany today, they said that there are so many, 18.
And the closest to us is somebody in Göppingen.
So that means when you go to school next week, or...
I'm not going to school next week. Thank God I'm still on holiday. We'll see if we, you know.
Well, when you go back to school, you just wash your hands. But, you know, they were saying that once the weather gets warmer, that is going to be a big factor in breaking down the, the something of it. So I think those are the things we should think about, Anya.
Yeah,
and
I get
not,
it. But
not get, you know, millennial about it.
I'm having a very, like, you know, double-sided argument with that, because on the one hand, you know, there's subtle hypochondriac feelings that go towards you, and it's like I feel my throat or I feel my organ, and you know, you start to just like worry. But on the other hand, it's also kind of like every year there's something. A couple of years ago they had, you know, the bird flu, the swine flu and stuff like that, and all of a sudden that, like,
there was SARS as
exactly. So, for example, they I found a statistic that said like the mortality rate for SARS was even higher. It was like 10% in comparison to, you know, coronavirus. This is like 2%.
Yeah, but that's kind of tricky because the SARS might not have been as contagious as corona. So there's also that.
Yeah, but they both like affected like the same respiratory organs. That's what I said. I mean, also something I found was, you know, I guess it's more for the beer company Corona, because, you know, they changed the name from Corona to COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I didn't understand why they did that, but I guess, I don't know, imagine like the beer company did actually pay because they didn't want to be associated with
it. But I can imagine that they wouldn't want to be associated with it. I was wondering why it took so long for them to like change the name.
But yeah, so January was in a bundle of fun. 10 out of 10 would not do again. It's like moving on.
I wouldn't even talk about about Meghan and Harry, and about the fleeing from the royal family.
That was a big deal.
I don't know. I think,
as somebody who has watched multiple weddings, and we watched,
I think it's good for them that they decide that they want to go. But I don't like this business of them being half in and half out. And I think that's why people are gonna make, you know, all kind of jokes and don't take them serious, because they wanted to still use the royal titles and, you know, still have roles to play. It's either they're in or out. It's like the mob. Anyway, you can't be half in.
Yeah, but I find it kind of, I don't know how to, but the way how some people were reacting, like Piers Morgan, how he was so hurt and so, I think they had said that they, like right after that whole thing happened, their wax figures were taken out from the Madame Tussauds section of the royal family. And it was like very just like fast and petty. And people were really pissed off about the whole thing.
I think that I think the British people feel a little bit away. Remember, you know, they just left the EU. The idea that somebody's leaving them, it might be it's too soon. But I think, I hope that Harry is not doing this because of Meghan. I hope that, like, somebody was, there's somebody who made the point that they always felt that that Harry wanted to leave the royal family. And that is the reason why he chose Meghan as his wife in the first place, because Meghan is basically an outsider, that it would always have been difficult for her to, you know, melt in and gel into the royal family.
Yeah.
So basically he married an outsider to help him to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm just hoping that, like, I just hope the relationship stays strong, because I wouldn't want to see if the relationship ends, I think Meghan is not going to be an easy one. Like, I think that it's going to go harder on Harry. I think he's not going to, it will totally destabilize him. So I just wish for them that the relationship is strong and them do what I'm doing.
But I think we can understand from Harry's point by, you know, he look at how his mother ended, like, the press and how that whole thing was going down. I think I remember hearing him say something along those lines, that, you know, he saw how it affected his mother, and
right,
he wouldn't want something like that to happen to Meghan. And he's, you know, he has a child now, you know.
No, but I don't know, Inya. I mean, like I said, I support them, you know, just as a couple, and I hope that for them, for the best. But if they are going to go to the Queen or to the British people and say, look, we don't want to do these duties anymore, they should have made a clean cut. I think they would have gotten much more respect. You understand?
Yeah.
And they know on the low, you know, figure out ways how to still do what they're doing. But
yeah.
this half and half thing, and then this thing what she did with you know, establishing the website and, you know, changing her Instagram to the, what is it, Sussex Royals or whatever. I know the Queen said they can't use the word royal because they're, you know, technically not royal anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like it come across as them not having fleshed out their idea and their plan for their life. Yeah, they didn't look at the big picture. They never followed the thing to its natural end because there's no way in hell that the Queen was going to be okay with them, you know, just being like, okay, peace out. But yeah, we still want this and we still want that.
Yeah,
because it's literally like the mob. Like, it's either you're in or you're out.
That's true. But isn't it? I still find it weird that we still have a construct like that. Like, as funny as it is, oh, yeah, we have a king and a queen, but like that we still have monarchy.
Who is the we you're referring to?
As, you know, people who live on planet Earth, right?
I don't think that there are lots of countries in this world that don't subscribe to no king and queen madness.
Well, yeah, no, but that just that's something that still exists, you know.
Yeah.
But
well,
anyway. Well, great talking to your mom. See you in another one. Just kidding, of course.
We're gonna delete that.
Anyway,
right. So my recommendation for the book. For the month is Kobe Bryant's book, The Mamba Mentality, How I Play. Like I said, it's a really simple book to go through. If anybody reading, anybody listening who, you know, have male or female person who is interested in sports, any kind of sports, because I think that was one of the things that I found interesting in the book, that, you know, the principles, they can be used in any pursuit of goals.
Anywhere.
Yeah, and the pictures are really well done.
There are pictures in the book, you know, as a pool for people who don't like, you know.
Anyway, if you're a basketball fan, there are really great pictures and some stats in there as well. Yeah, I hope that 2020 will kind of sort itself out. And I hope people are not feeling unsteady about the year just because of all that has happened. I hope that we still maintain, you know, the vision, which is,
2020, clear, hopefully.
Clear vision.
Well, thank you all for listening to this month's podcast. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, and of course on SoundCloud. Any final words you want to say, Mom?
Please comment and let us know how you feel. Like, you know, if you think that we all should just cancel Kobe Bryant now that he's dead because he was a rapist, or can we just like eat the meat of who he was and spit out the bones and keep it pushing? And do you think that we should run around with this coronavirus and be like,
okay, I mean, I don't want to run around with coronavirus.
You know what I mean? Like, run around with the hysteria of, oh my God, it's coming. Like, people should just be, follow the basic guidelines of hygiene. You wash your hands, you don't stand close to people, you don't cough in people's face.
And we all be hermits and stay home, right? That's the solution to everything.
There's also, if you have the opportunity to do that, then, I mean, I personally am not a crowd person. Mm-hmm. I avoid, you know, but.
Well, thanks for the tips. Well, see you next time, guys. Have a good one. March is coming.
Yeah, spring. The best month.
Birthday month.
Yes.
Bye, guys.